man. That's amazing. That's amazing. But next Sunday, we are beginning a new message series simply entitled The Holy Spirit. Woohoo! Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit. If I was in Africa, I would say it this way. The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Man, there's so many controversies around this topic. Not a lot of information in the house of God around this topic. And because many people don't know much about this topic, they've just decided to not talk about it. But how many people know God's raised us for such a time as this to teach the body of Christ to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit? Amen. So I know there's somebody here who's thinking, oh my God, it's about to get spooky up in here. You give an African guy the microphone and he's talking about the Holy Spirit, there's going to be some crazy things up in here. No. Just please tell your neighbor, tell them, cool down, just chill out. We're going to go into the Word of God, and like we always do, no hype, no craziness. We're going to go into the Word of God and learn about this thing that is very, very, very important. The Holy Spirit is God. He's not just this spooky thing. Come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit is the best business advisor you will ever have. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to make investments. He would tell you where to invest. The Holy Spirit is the best marriage counselor you will ever have. The Holy Spirit is the best advocate, the best lawyer you can ever have. Quit fighting your enemies. Just set the Holy Spirit loose on them and watch. He's going to take care of the job. The Holy Spirit is not just I was chatting with Tim as we were coming together to prepare the design, the graphic for this message series. And I said, guys, hey, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Please, no doves, no fire, no no smoke, no spooky weird things. Because we've reduced the Holy Spirit to this spooky thing. He's my best friend. I want to introduce you to the best friend that I've ever known. He's amazing. He would teach you how to love your wife. He would teach you how to love your husband well. He understands what's to come. He's the teacher of all things. But he's got power too. Make no mistake. He's got power and he's got fire. And we're going to release that fire. And we're going to become a people that are enjoying the supernatural power of God. The reason many Christians can't forgive is because you're doing it your way. The Holy Spirit can help you forgive. Hallelujah, somebody. The reason we're struggling and depressed, listen, the best pill you can ever have is the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. He's better than Prozac. I saved it. Come on, somebody. He's going to heal us in Jesus' name. Amen. So please tell somebody who doesn't know anything about the Holy Spirit, please find somebody who ran away from church because somebody was barking like a dog, saying they were under the influence of the Holy Spirit and confused them. We're going to bring clarity to the Word of God and sound doctrine in Jesus' name. And I'm believing that some people in this place will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Awesome. But hey, today we're going to finish a signal message series. By the way, week one on the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about getting to know Him, getting to know the Holy Spirit. Week two, we're going to talk about His work. What does He do? And by the way, week three is Family and Friends Sunday. Somebody shout, Family and Friends Sunday. So here's the deal. The person who invites the most friends and family members gets to go home with some gifts. Come on, somebody. So invite as many people as possible, especially those who just don't go to church. We are a church that reaches out to people so they can be saved, healed, and delivered. Amen. And then on the last Sunday, we're going to talk about His benefits, the benefits of the Holy Spirit. Awesome. It's going to be a wild August. Amen. Now let's turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 13 from 19 to 23. Matthew 13 from 19 to 23. You know, on the first Sunday, we talked about the foundations of hearing the voice of God. I gave you three powerful principles. Somebody shout three. Three powerful foundational principles of hearing the voice of God. All the messages and the notes are on our website, so please go back and learn these things again. And on the second Sunday, we talked about four things on how to access the voice of God. How do you actually access the voice of God? Go back, listen to that message, and get the notes as well. And on third Sunday, we talked about how to confirm the voice of God. You want to make sure that it's God who's really speaking to you, not that bad burrito you had last night. Amen. So I gave you five things to help you confirm the voice of God. And today, we're talking about stewarding the voice of God. Stewarding the voice of God. Now that you've heard the voice of God, what are we going to do? Now that God's spoken to you and you've confirmed it, and you know it's not that bad movie you watched last night, now what are you going to do with what God is saying to you? God is speaking to you for a reason. And so today we're going to learn how to steward the voice of God. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems and all are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell on the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Amen. Somebody say, I am good ground. One more time, I am good ground. I used to spend my years as a teenager serving men and women of God. I would intern with men of God. I'd spend my summers washing their cars and following them around, carrying their Bibles. This is how I learned to do most of what I do now. I watch them pray for people. I watch them in their business meetings, and I would hang out with them all throughout the summer. And one summer, I was hanging out with a man of God called Bishop Ian, great man of God, Bishop Ian. And I was just hanging out with him and learning from him. At this time, I had a friend in school. He was a crazy kid, big kid, buff and drugs and all that crazy stuff, just a womanizer, people, everybody around him. He was just one of those crazy kids. I mean, this kid was a bully. But for some reason, we were just close. For some reason, he just really liked me, and I liked this kid, and we would talk. He would come around me with his friends, and he would tell his friends, please don't swear around Zenzo. Zenzo is a good kid. Don't say that crazy stuff around him. He's a good one. One day, as I was serving Bishop Ian, playing piano for him, guess who came into the auditorium? My buddy Anthony, this crazy kid, came walking in the auditorium, and I was like, wow, this crazy kid, this bully, this drug addict is in church. I go to school with this kid. What's going on? And then Bishop Ian, like he would always do, he called out Anthony from the crowd. And he said, Anthony, oh, we have an Anthony sitting in the front. Anthony, please stand. I know you used to be a bully, Anthony. Come on, please come up here. Please come up here. Come on, let's appreciate this man of God. So Bishop Ian begins to speak to Anthony. Anthony, you're going to get off those drugs. You're going to stop bullying people. And God's going to use you. I hit you a little bit hard there. God's going to use you. God's going to use you.
You're going to pray for the sick, and through your life, many thousands will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. And I saw my friend. This is why I believe in Jesus. I saw my friend change. His life was transformed. He began to preach the word of God. God began to use him. But one day, somebody shout, one day. One day, he had an argument with Bishop Ian. They had an argument, and I was there for it. Some petty little thing happened. Had an argument. And Anthony got so upset with Bishop Ian. Bishop Ian was apologizing to Anthony. Man, that was just a mistake. Please forgive me. And for some reason, Anthony was just offended. Somebody shout offended. He was just offended. He wouldn't budge. Bishop Ian sent me a few times to go to Anthony's house and to talk to Anthony on his behalf. This guy would not even open the door for me. He shut everybody out. After that, Anthony stopped going to church. He stopped pursuing his dreams, stopped preaching, went back to the drugs. And one day I watched on the news, on the night news, Anthony had been a part of a robbery that went bad, and he got arrested. He went to jail for life because in the midst of this bank robbery, somebody was killed. Anthony received the word of God. He heard the voice of God through the prophetic ministry of Bishop Ian. And he started following the voice of God. But Anthony got offended. Somebody shout offended. He got offended. All of a sudden, stopped coming to church. Stopped pursuing his dream. Stopped praying. And he lost the voice of God. Impact, I want you to know this. Just because you've heard the voice of God doesn't automatically mean it will come to pass. Anthony heard the voice of God. I was there. And I saw how God began to move in Anthony's life. I was amazed at this kid who used to be on drugs and doing crazy things. He was praying for people. People were falling under the power of God. Things were happening. I mean, people with cancer were being healed. I was astounded. And then he lost it and lost it and lost it. Anthony ended up in jail. Not because he didn't hear the voice of God, but because he failed to steward the voice of God. Today I want to teach you how to steward the voice of God. Somebody say amen. Because we have a part to play in partnership with God in order for the word of God to be fulfilled in your life. And it hurts my heart. I've been in church a long time. And it breaks my heart to see many people frustrated in the house of God. People who are sitting on powerful prophetic words. God's given them a voice. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. God's going to do this in your life. God's going to do this in your life. And I've seen many people hear the voice of God. I've seen many people hear the authentic, clear voice of God, but end up not fulfilling it because they didn't know how to steward it. But we're going to teach you how to steward the voice of God in this place. Somebody shout amen. There are people in this room right now that have heard the voice of God concerning their marriage, the voice of God concerning their family, the voice of God concerning their career, the voice of God concerning their ministry, the voice of God concerning the future of their kids, the voice of God concerning important areas of their lives. If I was to ask how many people here have a promise from God that hasn't come to pass, many hands would be up. And as a pastor, as a father, as a spiritual father, my responsibility is to help you to steward the voice of God. Somebody say amen. So I'm going to take a little time today. I want you to know that every time the word of God is released, it falls on four groups of people. Somebody shout four. It falls on four groups of people. There are four groups of people in this room right now. As I'm teaching the word of God right now, there are four groups of people that are receiving the word of God in four different ways. I want you to do a diagnosis this morning of who you are among this four group, this group of four people. And then after that, I'm going to give you five things that you need to do in order to steward the word of God. Somebody say amen. And then after that, we're going to worship. We're going to have fun. And then we're going to start Holy Spirit week next week. Amen. First group is what I call pathway people. Somebody shout pathway. Anthony, stay right there. Anthony, come over here, please, man of God. Please stand over there. Somebody shout pathway. You're no longer Anthony right now. Your new name is Pathway. Somebody say hello to Pathway. Bible says, Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, the seed that fell on the footpath, the seed that fell on the pathway represents those that hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. The devil, the evil one, comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The enemy comes and snatches away the seed. I'll tell you that there's a group of people who will not fulfill the voice of God in their life because every time they receive a prophetic word, every time God speaks to them, there are people who come around their life and they snatch away what God's given them. There are people who will come and convince you otherwise. For some people, it's family members. You can't do that. You're not going to be a business person. God's given this man here a prophetic word, and he's heard the voice of God that he's going to help many people come out of debt. He's wearing this thing there that says, want to be debt-free? Question mark. This man of God here helps people with financial stewardship. Now, God's spoken to him, and somebody can come. It could be your own mother. Son, we don't dream big in this family. Nothing like that happens in this family. You're not going to do that. You need to go. This is what you need to do. You need to just go on and do the career that your father pursued. Your uncle did the same thing. Forget that stuff. Come on, somebody. And for some people, it's what I call ungodly associations. And when I say ungodly associations, I'm not talking about people that are outside the church. There are ungodly associations in the house of God. Come on, somebody. So the enemy comes and snatches away that seed. When God spoke to me to start a United Night of Worship, I had pastors and bishops talking to me and saying, this does not happen in Boston, son. I've been in Boston for 40 years, son. This stuff doesn't happen. Maybe it happens in Africa. Maybe it happens in California. Maybe it happens in, this stuff doesn't happen, son. And I went home and I was in bed at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, sad, depressed. They stole my vision. They depressed me. And people hear the voice of God, but it's snatched away. For some of you young people, please be careful with the friends you have around you. They'll steal the word of God from you. They'll steal the voice of God from you. Somebody say amen. The word of God can be stolen. Somebody can come to you and say, hey, you know, that whole church thing, just quit. Just quit. Let's just go to the nightclub tonight. We got to do work. So God's given you a vision, right? And you are there. Work. Ain't that bad, that work. You got a dream. I have seen many people. You got a vision. God's given you a dream. And it's snatched away. Somebody shout pathway. One more time, shout pathway. The second group is what I call rocky ground people. Rocky ground people. Jeremy, you're going to help me out today. Come on, let's appreciate this young man. Jeremy, your new name today is Rocky. It'll be Rocky. Melissa, that's a good name, Rocky. Everybody say hello to Rocky. Oh, my God. Somebody just say, hey, Rocky. Matthew 13, 20 to 21, the seed that fell on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. Joy. Jeremy, can you show me, can you be joyful? When you're excited, right, when something has happened, that's just amazing. How do you celebrate, Jeremy? Please. Melissa, I know he'd be jumping around when he celebrates. This is a group of people that are emotional. They celebrate. God's going to use me. God's going to use me. God's going to use me. Oh, my God. God's going to use me. But here's what happened. But since They don't have deep roots. They're not grounded. Since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. I have seen many people receive the word of God, get excited. We're going to change the world. We're going to do great things. But the moment a problem comes, they're like, oh my God, it's over. It's over for me. Oh my God, what am I going to do? Somebody shout, deep roots. That's why I want you to give me permission as a pastor to teach you the word of God and to help you be grounded. Because as long as you're not grounded, you will hear the voice of God. You will get excited about it, but it won't have much fruit. Somebody say amen. That's what happened to my friend Anthony. He heard the word of God. Even though he was preaching, he wasn't grounded. And so a little offense came by. This is what happens with this group of people, the rocky people. They get offended pretty quickly. A small little thing will offend them. And the word of God becomes dormant inside of them. Somebody say amen. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, you have been believers for so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. Now, I get it that there are people who have been offended by churches. It's a fact. Amen. But I want you to know, not every church is bad. Come on, somebody. Amen. And I want you to know that this is a great church. Amen. Come on, somebody. Great church of great people who love God. Amen. A cute pastor's wife. Come on, somebody. Friendly, nice, not mean. Come on, somebody. Pure spirit, good people in this place. The pastor is not bad at all either. We love people for real. I know there's some people in this place that have been hurt, but would you give us the permission to ground you in the things of God? Would you come here with an open heart? Amen. No, there's nothing crazy we're doing. Come on, somebody. We are believing God with you. Would you allow us to ground you into the real things of God? Not the fanatic stuff, not the spooky stuff, not the crazy stuff, not the emotional stuff. Would you allow us to ground you in the real things of the Word of God? Help you become better husbands, better fathers, better wives, not religious people. Come on, somebody. We want to ground you so that when the Word of God comes through, it can bear fruit. I know a lot of people who hear the Word of God and God speaks to them. And it doesn't bear much fruit because they're not grounded in the things of God. Amen. Josh, you're next. Come on, you knew it. Josh, I don't know if Josh can come today. No, you, okay, come on. You're wearing Yankees, brother. Are you serious? Oh, man, Jesus, help me. Everybody who celebrated the Yankees, Father, forgive them. Josh, come on, man. For real, man. Come on. The third one, very fitting for you, brother, because of that shirt, is Thorny Ground. Somebody say Thorny Ground. Thorny Ground. Verse 22, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit, no fruit. Somebody shout, no fruit. No fruit is produced. Two things with the thorny ground is that they receive the word of God, they hear the voice of God, but two things they all struggle with is that they always focus on their worries. And if they're not focusing on their worries, they're always preoccupied with the pursuit of riches. Now remember, nothing wrong with riches. I believe God's going to raise amazing business people in this house. I'm believing God for millionaires to be raised up in this place that will do a lot of great things. Because I believe millions in the hands of righteous people can get a lot of good work done. Somebody say amen. But I've known people who hear the voice of God and the obsession for things, the obsession to get ahead, chokes them up every time. They're always jumping on that next thing. Have you heard of that investment? Have you heard of this? Have you heard people are investing in Uganda? Now people are investing in Iraq here. They're always pursuing something, and they're so preoccupied with that that God's speaking to them and they don't even hear it. Or they focus so much on problems. Have you met those people? Every time you meet them, they're dealing with a problem. Can I teach the word of God this morning? Every time, sometimes you want to walk away because you're not ready to hear another problem. Can I just be honest up in this place? Something is always wrong. Okay, the dog ate the cat ate the dog, the mouse ate the cat. Something is always going on. They find something. Something is always going on. Something fell. The pots disappeared from the house. They can't find their forks anymore. Oh, my God, I don't have a fork to eat. Can you believe it? Always a problem. You become so preoccupied with your problem that you minimize your purpose. You become so obsessed with your problem, and all you see is your problem, that you neglect your promise. You specialize on your problem and you minimize on your purpose. And I want you to know that whatever you put your efforts in, whatever you specialize in will become magnified. Whatever you focus on will become magnified. So their problems are magnified and their purpose has been minimized because that's all they focus on. And God speaks to them. You're going to do great things. You're going to start that business. But they're always focusing on the problem. Always a problem. Always something new happening. And they miss the voice of God. It doesn't take root. Somebody shout amen. Bobby, you know you got to come up here. Come on, my brother Bobby. Come on up. Come on up. Yeah, you look good, Bobby. I love your shorts, Bobby. You look good. Come on, this is my brother here. Celebrate this brother. My Italian brother, you look good. I love it. I love it. You get a good one, Bobby. You get a good one. Somebody shout, good ground. Somebody shout, good ground. The fourth one is good ground. The good ground is everything that they are not. The good ground is one that does not allow friends and ungodly associations to come and steal away what God is doing. Somebody say amen. Good ground. They're grounded in the things of God. They're committed. They yield. They're under a covering of a man of God, and they're under a covering of a church. Their kids come to the house of God. Their kids are learning how to hear the voice of God. Good ground. And good ground does not focus. That they don't build their entire life on problems. Good ground doesn't mean he doesn't have problems. Good ground is not an indication of the absence of problems. It's just he's too preoccupied with the vision of God and the plan of God in his life. So much that the problems just fall off. He will not give the problems the time of the day. He has them. He cries sometimes. He weeps sometimes. He breaks down sometimes. But he's focused on the vision of God. Has accountability. Is committed to the people of God in his life. Somebody shout, good ground. One more time, good ground. The Bible says, in the book of John, chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Good ground is a person who's not achieving things just because he's got some degrees, got some money, got some stuff, but he's connected to the vine. His name is Jesus. And Christ in him is the hope of glory. Christ in him is producing some things. Come on, somebody. Do you know anybody who's good ground? Come on, somebody. When you look at the favor of God in their life, the talents that they have, when you look at their talents and when you look at the things that God is using them to do, you know it's not that person, it's not him, but something is working on the inside of him and help him to have supernatural results. Somebody shout, good ground. Somebody shout, I am good ground. Come on, somebody, I know what I'm talking about here. Any good grounds in this place? Come on. Hallelujah. Any good grounds in this place? I'm connected to Jesus. I am fighting for my vision. I am believing. It's not always okay. It's not always okay. But I'm not allowing some friends to come and steal away what God's put in me. I'm not allowing worry and offenses to come and steal away from me. Offenses will steal stuff from you. Let me tell you this. There's no perfect church. If this church was perfect, it just became imperfect the moment you walk through that door. Because none of us are perfect. The notion of perfection is the fact that we can recognize that we're imperfect people connected by a perfect God. And that we can talk to one another. Because perfect love casts away all fear. Somebody say amen. So you guys stand right there. Let's get some pianists. Paul and Linton, jump on the piano if you can. We're going to close this thing down. So now, having laid that foundation, I want to give you five things you need to do in order to steward the word of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Number one, yield. Yield. Because that's what good ground does. That's what doesn't happen here. There's a resistance. Good ground makes mistakes. They don't always know it all. But they're willing to yield. They're pliable. Let's pray this prayer together. Say, Father, make me pliable. It's the best thing that I've ever done in my life. I remember times when my wife would say stuff to me. Dude, you're stubborn. Dude, change this. Dude. And I used to say, I'm African. You married an African dude. My daddy was this way, and I'm this way. You just got to love me the way I am. If you really love me, you got to love me in all of this. That's not wisdom. God wants us to yield, and as we yield, we're growing. I'll never forget when I started going to my wife and, honey, I'm sorry. And she's funny. She was funny. I thought she'd start crying. And she'd look at me. She says, yeah, you can do it. You can do it. That's my wife. That's my wife. I love that girl. She'd say to me, smile. She'd take her hands and make me smile. Smile. See, you can do this. You can do this. You can smile. I never used to smile. I was a guy who grew up in the third poorest country in the world with bad news. I never knew how to smile. She used to say, smile. I used to say, I don't want to smile. I got nothing to smile about. And she used to, with her little fingers, grab my mouth. Smile, honey. See? You look good when you smile. And I'll be like, I love to smile now. Because I started yielding. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when the Holy Spirit begins to correct you and you can feel that sword going on the inside. You know what I mean? It's painful. You feel the stink of your flesh. Like, oh, did I really do that? And you just feel that. It's uncomfortable. Some of us run away from that. We don't know how to say sorry. I used to be that person. But you can yield. And it's beautiful. It feels good. I love it now. I go to say sorry to my wife before I even do anything. I say, honey, I'm sorry. Oh, what did you do now? No, just in case. I'm muted. Lift up the music. Lift up the music, guys. Father, I pray in this place, would you cause our hearts to yield? Break us, oh God. You only break us because you want to mold us again. So break us. Melt us. Father, may we not wait for some problem to happen before we are melted, God. May we not wait for some tragedy to happen for us to get to our senses. Help us, Father. Somebody say two. Second thing you need to do is pray. Simply pray. Number one, yield. I didn't give you the scripture for number one. Here we go. Yield. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. Remember what it says. Today, when you hear the voice of God, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when he rebelled. Don't harden your heart when they rebelled. Number two, pray. Somebody say pray. Second, 1 Timothy 1 from verse 17 to 18. 1 Timothy 1, 17 to 18. I'm going to jump right into 18. He says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by the voice of God, by the voice of God that was spoken over your life, that you may wage the good warfare, the good fight. If you're going to fight well, you fight by enforcing the voice of God. Somebody say amen. Because God gave you a promise doesn't mean the devil is not going to fight you. That's why Paul says to Timothy, I want you to fight a good fight. How am I going to fight a good fight? I want you to fight by enforcing the word that was spoken over your life. You've got to declare it and decree it. Don't let the devil steal your marriage. Declare it. God spoke to me. God said I was going to be married to this man. God said I was going to be married to this woman. God said my children will amount to this. God said he was going to use me in my ministry. God said he was going to send me to this place. God said he was going to do this. God said he was going to help me build this church. And even though it doesn't look like it's happening right now, I'm going to fight and I'm going to pray. And I'm not going to let the devil take away what belongs to me. Somebody shout hallelujah. Speak it. Declare it. Third thing, walk by faith. Walk by faith. James 2, 17. That's also faith by itself. If it does not have works, it's dead. After you've yielded, after you've prayed, you have to operate in faith. Jump out of the boat. You've heard the voice of God. Courage, jump out. Do something you've never done before. If you're going to see something you've never had before. Jump out. Step out of faith. Go to that bank and tell them, I need a loan because I'm starting a business. Apply for that school. I'm doing it this week. Do something. It's not enough to just pray. Number four, somebody shout work. Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Too many Christians are lazy. Many people think just because God gave you prophetic word or God gave you his voice, it's just going to happen without you working hard. No, you're going to work. I wish I could tell you the amount of work it's taken us to believe God and put this church together, going, raising finances, believing. Even though God gave us a prophetic word, we still had to work. And if you're going to work well, you have to strategize. Meet other people. Mentors who know what they are doing. Speak to them first. Even though God told you to do it, don't just go out there without research. Work. Do your research. Learn. Strategize. Then do it. And finally, get covered. Somebody say, get covered. One more time, get covered. A lot of people hear the voice of God and it's never realized because they're not under the covering of the house of God. The church is a sanctuary. It's a place of safety for your dreams. It's the safe incubator for your prophetic seed. And many people are left out there by themselves. But I declare in this place today that you are good ground. Somebody say amen. Please stand if you can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody shout, I am good ground. Shout it, I am good ground. Shout it, I will produce 30, 60, and 100-fold. Even good ground does not produce 100-fold right away. It starts in levels. So some of you are good ground. You're releasing 30% increase only right now, but that doesn't mean you're not going to grow. You're on the right track. Every eye closed. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, listen, Jesus is the seed. Jesus is the seed. Jesus is the seed. I'm going to count 1, 2, 3, and I want you to throw your hand up and just say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to believe in you. I want to be good ground. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, hands. Thank you for all those hands. Impact, like we always do with those of you raising up your hands, please pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died and rose again. Today, I say yes to you. I believe in you. I say yes to you. Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. Come on, somebody put your hands together and celebrate Jesus. Come on, let's worship together in this place.